Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show. Breaking down everything Patriots with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Hart. The Six Rings Postgame Show is co-sponsored by Zudy. Build any application your company needs in 1 week. Visit ZUDY.com for your free trial. By New England Recovery Center in Westboro, where recovery is possible. By your local New England Kubota tractor dealers. By Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com. By Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com. And by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Windows dealer. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
The Patriots defense couldn't do enough stuffing. Justin Jefferson, he was sweeter than pie. Mac Jones was on a roll. Pierre Strong is a turkey. The line got mashed at the worst possible time, and the officials were total giblet bag. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special Thanksgiving night edition of the Six Rings postgame show here on WEEI and all across the WEEI network as well as WEEI.com. Hopefully you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, but it was an unfortunate finish to what was at times a great game and hopefully what was a good day for you and your family as well. You can give us a call anytime here on the postgame show at 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The socials at WEEI, at Jumbo Hart, and at Fitzy GFY. And the text line is available for your venting and for your frustrations at 37937. The New England Patriots finally flipped the switch, as Mac Jones detailed. But unfortunately, in the end, the defense just did not show up. Self-inflicted wounds aplenty in a very sloppy second half. A second half that saw the Patriots actually execute the first double score in a long time. A field goal at the end of the first half. A touchdown to start the second half. But ultimately, mistakes made by rookies. Terrible officiating. And unfortunately, the line collapsing at the worst possible time down the stretch leads the Patriots to a 33-26 defeat at U.S. Bank Stadium at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings. A very, very, very frustrating game. Like we mentioned, or like I just mentioned moments ago, the Patriots offense seemed to have actually woken up, seemed to have found themselves early on that first drive. You're watching this game and you think, wow, where has this Patriots offense been? And can they stick around for a while? This is what I've wanted to see for ages. They were going toe to toe. They were keeping up with Minnesota drive for drive, pass for pass, score for score. Unfortunately, in the first half and in the second half as well, having to settle for field goals too often as opposed to touchdowns. As I mentioned just moments ago, there were also some egregious calls, some terrible calls by the officials, including a Jesse James-esque call at the goal line on what should have been a Hunter Henry touchdown, but was ultimately ruled a non-catch. I, nor Dez Bryant, nor anyone in the McCourty family and beyond has any idea what a catch actually is in the NFL now. I don't know what a catch has been. I don't know what a catch will be redefined as. All I know is that Hunter Henry made a catch. The ball never touched the ground. The ball moved a little bit. That was enough to reverse what was a touchdown call. Things just did not go the way of the Patriots at all in the second half. And a terrible, terrible, borderline catastrophic, dare I say, mistake by rookie Pierre Strong, rushing the punter and running into the punter, just making enough contact with his helmet to the punter's foot. The punter does a world-class FIFA sell job. Marcus Smart would have been proud of the job that the Vikings punter did, spinning and flopping to the ground. On fourth and four, he gets the 5 yards for running into the kicker. It gives the Vikings the ball back. And then wide receiver one in the NFL, who I have not paid tribute to just yet, but certainly deserves all the praise and accolades possible, Justin Jefferson, continues to show the NFL why he is the best receiver on the planet, why him going 22 overall in the draft a couple of years ago is a farce. He's good enough that he probably should have gone first overall. He made the Patriots pay tonight time and time and time again. And when he didn't get the ball, he freed up space for TJ Hawkinson, who's been an excellent addition for the Minnesota Vikings since they traded for him just a few weeks ago. 4 games, 26 catches. That's a record for somebody joining another team in season in the NFL. And, of course, the Adam Thielen touchdown, which was the difference in the game, which was just out of the grasp of Jalen Mills trying to make a play. But it's difficult to try to cover everybody when you have to double the best receiver in football. Patriots get the ball back, as you saw, towards the tail end of the game there. Mac Jones, after a 40-yard gain by Ramondre Stevenson with a really, really, really frustrating sack on third down. Negative plays, self-inflicted wounds, just the little mistakes that have haunted the Patriots before, but that they seem to have either evaded or moved past tonight, came back to haunt them. And it was too little too late in the end. But, you know, I could sit here scratching my head wondering what the hell Tyquan Thornton was thinking when he caught that ball at the end laying down as if the Patriots could take a timeout and hopefully throw a Hail Mary. They had no timeouts. Mac Jones obviously had been sacked. Kendrick Bourne couldn't get out of bounds with 20 seconds left. They wrestled him in bounds on that play. Just the little mistakes. And I'm going to tell you, they joked about it time and again, and the Patriots only have 1 week until they play the Buffalo Bills Thursday, December 1st, 8:15 on Thursday Night Football, the Amazon presentation, not NBC again. That special teams meeting, whenever that takes place, Friday, over the weekend, Monday, whenever. Wow, that is going to be a grisly scene, to say the least. The New England Patriots, first time they've given up a kickoff return touchdown since 2010 to C.J. Spiller, back then of the Buffalo Bills. 12 years it's been. They make that mistake to give Minnesota the ball back, and then they give up a kickoff return touchdown. Just, unbelievably stupid things. Let's check and see if we can welcome Andy Hart in for his first thoughts on a very frustrating night. What could have been a capper to hopefully what was a good Thanksgiving Day for you, Andy. Your initial thoughts on the New England Patriots showing up and showing out on offense, unleashing Mac, letting him cook, flipping that proverbial switch, and then ultimately being their own worst enemy down the stretch.
I thought I was on the floor of the Senate and was being filibustered here. Good Lord.
I wasn't sure actually if your connection had come through or not.
I was going to say, you don't deal with close losses well. They make you very chatty fitsy dealing with a tough road loss. I don't know if you want to be positive or negative, because I think you can take both out of this game. If you want to be positive, Mac Jones looked like Mac Jones from a year ago, looked like a more confident, accurate quarterback, had some time to work, and made some of his best throws of the season. I don't think you can doubt that at all. It's unfortunate that he couldn't make plays late, that the ability to move the football that was coming seemingly so early easy, although the red zone's still an issue, petered out late, the protection petered out late. That, I would say, is the positive side of things. If you want to go to the negative side of things, the question was asked, is this defense as good as it has looked? And the answer came tonight, no, it is absolutely not as good as it's looked, because they had no answer for Justin Jefferson, the Belichickian theory that he can take away the best thing you do and make you beat him with other stuff. Nope. You didn't take away Justin Jefferson. You didn't take away Adam Thielen. You didn't take away TJ Hawkinson. You didn't take away Dalvin Cook. You really didn't take away anything they do defensively, and you could not take advantage of the fact that they were without their young stud left tackle. So, pros and some cons.
I want to allow you the same filibuster or time in response. Again, I orated for a bit there because I thought you were having technical issues in connection, but I gotta tell you, like, where was the pass rush tonight? Like, if they're down their stud second year left tackle Christian Darrisaw, you would have thought they would have found a way to feast. Minnesota was able to get the same way the Patriots got the ball out quickly all night long, Andy, which props to Mac Jones, offensive play caller, Matt Patricia, the whole offensive hive mind, for getting the ball out quickly and helping compensate for the Patriots' compromised offensive line. No Isaiah Wynn, no David Andrews. There was no pressure really generated by the Patriots tonight.
No, we're going to praise the Patriots offensive line, and rightly so. They were without two starters, and I thought they played well, and they were part of the reason they were able to move the ball so well. But you gave up 3 sacks. I know 2 of them came at the end, but on the stat sheet it says 3 sacks. Kirk Cousins was sacked once. I actually think the Patriots outthought this. I think they tennis laddered this. I'd have to go back and watch it more closely. Seemed to me they put Matthew Judon on the left defensive side more often this week than I normally think they do. And I think they went with that idea, we'll put our best on their starter and we'll put our lesser guys on the backside where they should have an advantageous matchup against a backup. And I don't think I would have rather just said, let Judon eat. Let him eat alive the left tackle. And yes. I need to see some of the footage again. I'm not sure if my eyes were exactly right in live time, but I think they overthought that a little bit. But either way, it didn't work. You didn't get the pressure that you thought you were going to get. And, you know, that is a banged-up defense, too. Mm-hmm. They were without a couple key starters, lacking some depth in the back end for the Vikings. So, you know, the positive momentum that I think people were getting caught up in and the questions about, oh, well, what's going to happen when you face a team? Well, you faced a good offense with good skill players, and they kind of had their way with you. I mean, I know they got the kickoff return, so you didn't give up 33 points. You gave up 26, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you still saw that this defense is still good. I'm not saying, you know, I thought Jonathan Jones had a competitive night. He was one of the few competitive guys in the back end. But this
even
defense
with the stats that Justin Jefferson put up, you can definitely say that
wasn't all on
Jonathan
him.
Jones
yeah.
put it himself.
Yeah, no, that wasn't all on him. Some of it was Jefferson on Jones. Some of it was zone. There was a couple of crossing plays where it was clearly zone. But they had no answers. Devin McCourty, I thought, was late to help in a number of occasions there in terms of the pass defense. So, you know, I thought this was coming. I thought there was a little bit of a slap in the face, wake-up call, reality check that might be coming for this defense. And I think they got it a little bit against a Vikings team that had something to prove. Give Kevin O'Connell credit. They marched right down the field. Now the Patriots answered, so I'll give Matt Patricia credit too. But, you know, a week after they got embarrassed and Justin Jefferson was calling out his head coach kind of to change things up and adjust when you're under pressure, I thought Kevin O'Connell and that offense kind of answered the challenge today.
Statistically, on the evening, you said earlier that you didn't really have any answers for Dalvin Cook. I thought the rush defense actually did a good job. Cook went 22 carries for only 42 yards. Madison, 3 for 11. So they did a good job against the run game, but Kirk Cousins.
I actually thought he had more through the air, and he didn't. I thought he made plays through the air, and he only had 14 yards receiving.
Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, 30 of 37, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Seemed like he was really dying to throw Jonathan Jones at least, if not several.
Yep,
several
he could have had 3
tonight.
Picks. He could have easily had 3 picks tonight. Mm-hmm. And if you go back last week, he could have had the one off of Wilson on the out that he dropped. He's making himself some money. I saw even Jason McCourty tweeted he's not just a slot corner anymore. John Jones has stepped up to the challenge of being a true outside corner, and that's nice. Now, the problem I would say is Jalen Mills has kind of faded back into Jalen Mills land, and that touchdown that he gave up to Thielen is another one of those examples where I say it's the hardest position in football. His finger, I swear it touched the ball. I swear that's how close he was. It touched
was
the
it
ball.
Was it maybe by an inch? He probably could feel the breeze of the pass going over his glove tip.
Yep. And if you make that play, it's a nice pass defense, and you get on SportsCenter, everybody says you're good, you don't, and you give up a touchdown, and you're frustrated, and you want to slam your helmet through the fake turf. That's the game.
Such a frustrating game on so many levels. Meanwhile, on...
But fun! Can we just... It was
no,
fun.
It was very
like entertaining.
Enjoyable
I'll
until
take
the
that
end.
Over 3-3 any day. I'll
oh,
take
God,
that you, any day. Plays
I'll
were
take
being
that
made.
Over I'll take that over the... Stomping out of the Colts as well. The what was that 26-3, 26-6, whatever that was a few weeks ago. I'll take that over 10-3 anytime. It was easily the most. I saw our pal Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald tweeted out at halftime, like, more of this, please. Like, this is the most entertaining game since week 3. I think it was even more entertaining than the Ravens Patriots game from week 3. Probably the most entertaining or electric game because of the offense, because of their ability to get the ball out, put it in space, let their playmakers play. Mack looked great on some of those passes. The touchdown, that first touchdown to Aguilar was gorgeous.
Best throw
gorgeous,
of the year,
I
fam.
Tell you.
Yep,
and he finishes the night, Andy, with a really, really, really dynamite line, 28 of 39, 382, and 2 touchdowns. Parker had some nice catches. Stevenson, a couple nice catches. Actually, it would have been 8 for 36 if it weren't for that last one for 40 yards that almost brought them to the red zone, but ultimately the biggest sack of the night took them out of field goal range. And Aguilar had a nice night, so close to making that play down by the goal line, Andy, which would have given the Patriots a chance to punch it in and tie the game up as well. And are you ready for this conversation now, or should we make hour number 2 all about this? Could you please explain to me what a catch is?
No, I can't. I struggle with it because I do think the ball hit the ground a little bit. I don't know that he had full hand under it and full control as it hit the ground, but I thought he caught the ball. Like, if you just, I always use the kindergarten rule. Like, if you just ask a little kid, did he catch that? He caught it. I thought he caught the ball. Because it didn't. After he rolled over, it's not like it rolled off his chest. If it had rolled off his chest at that point, I probably would have agreed, yeah, I don't think he ever really caught it. But he caught the ball. He was lying on the field. It was on his chest. Felt like a touchdown to me, but what's his name? Is it John Parry, who does the NBC official whatever?
Yeah,
he was adamant from the beginning.
One of those booth guys, yeah.
Yeah, and he was adamant from the beginning, and he was right.
Because he was calling it based on what he thinks they're going to interpret the rules as opposed to, like, just trust your eyes. What do your eyes tell you? Was that a catch? Yes. Now, Andy, there's a million different people that have tweeted it out in slow-mo and in close-up. I think I retweeted it at Fitzy GFY or quote-tweeted it a while ago. You can watch the replay, and Hunter Henry's hand is under the ball the entire time. The ball, actually, in slow-mo, never makes contact with the ground. So it should have been ruled a touchdown. I don't know why they looked at it for so long and then flipped the call on the play.
Yeah, if that's true, because I thought it hit the ground. I was with him. I thought the hand was like half on it, half off it, and it hit the ground. But if it indeed never hit the ground, they took a long time to review that. Because they went to a break, came back. He was still reviewing it. And if that's true, then they didn't do a very good job officiating. But you just said, like, by the letter of the law, like, he's calling it the way he knows they're going to call it rather than the way he sees it. I felt the same way about the false start on Justin Jefferson that they called when the Patriots clearly jumped offside and the right tackle clearly did the little thing where you, like, point out and touch him. Mm-hmm. And then they called Jefferson for the false start. It's like, even the Patriots knew they jumped. I think it was Lawrence Guy was down on his knees with his hands in his, head in his hands. He's like, we just screwed up and jumped offsides, and they got bailed out by whatever that rule is.
Yeah, and Trent Brown was
offside,
false start late in the game when the Patriots were backed up near their goal line.
Terribly officiated game on both sides. There was pass interference calls in both directions that didn't get caught. Like, it was
The hold on Kyle Duggar, which had a full entire the guy literally had a fistful of shoulder pad on the Vikings kickoff return touchdown. Duggar easily would have snuffed that run out. And how about the face mask on Mac Jones, which Warren Sharp tweeted out about 35 minutes ago? His quote on the tweet was, refs have been egregious tonight. Egregious becoming the new term du jour whenever officiating is terrible, calls don't go the right way, or we just have a sloppy game like this, at least from the zebra peoples. They were awful. I mean, look, in the end, the Patriots are responsible for their own fate, because if Pierre Strong doesn't run into the damn kicker there, Andy, the Vikings don't have an easy path to a touchdown with a Justin Jefferson bomb and then that Thielen catch over Mills. Maybe the Patriots score there and we're talking about a different kind of result. We're finishing off Thanksgiving in a happier capacity with a little extra whipped cream on the pie as opposed to now being stuck with the dishes like you and I are.
Yeah, and Bill was extra agitated a number of different times throughout that game, including at Pierre Strong after the running into the kicker penalty. Bill was kind of giving him an earful, but the Duggar, when Duggar fell down on the Hawkinson touchdown, the 1 yard touchdown early, Bill was fired up. Bill was pretty emotional. Bill was into that game because I think Bill felt it. You know when he says it declares, like, the game declared, and it declared that his team was going to be able to throw punches with the Vikings on the road on a short week. You know, people were saying, oh, this offense, can you keep up, blah, blah, blah. They were throwing punches, going back and forth like Rocky, and then the bottom kind of fell out at the end.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number if you would like to jump in, vent, voice your frustrations, discuss the game with your old pals Fitzy and Hart here on the Six Rings postgame show. Of course, we are broadcasting from our Best Yet brand studio. Tonight's show is brought to you by Zudy. Build any app your company needs in just a week. Visit Zudy, that's Zudy.com, for your free trial. We're here with you until 1 a.m. tonight on the Six Rings postgame show. Andy, let's welcome in our first call of the evening, if you will, as we continue to analyze and parse out how tonight's game came to be. Of course, we will take you live to Patriots quarterback Mac Jones, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, who I cannot wait to hear from tonight. I can't even imagine what his mood is going to be like. But let's take our first out-of-town call right now. Chris, calling all the way in from Dallas, wants to talk about Mac Jones, special teams, and more. Chris, welcome to the Six Rings postgame show.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
And to you as well, friend.
Hey. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I'm just kind of flustered with the game overall. I will say that this is probably the best performance that I think I've seen out of Mac Jones in the offense out of the entire year so far. But that special teams outside of Nick Folk was just horrendous tonight, and I think Bill Belichick needs to straighten them up, because it's just it does not look pretty at all. In my opinion, they cost them the game tonight.
Agreed.
Yeah, the special teams
was terrible. Well, it's funny because they got the big kick return from Marcus Jones to set up a short field that they scored on. He actually made a really nice tackle on the first kickoff of the game.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And Folk did his job as usual, had his four field goals. The rest of it was crap. They were just not very good. And then even Marcus Jones got, you know, upended and close to fumbling there at the end, where he didn't have another special return in him. So, yeah, the special teams, Cam Accord, who we've been talking about for a year plus now and was part of the story of them falling apart last year, had a terrible night.
Yep, agreed.
Thank you for the call, Chris. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Chris.
Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving and enjoy the kickstart to the holiday season as well. Yeah,
you know who I think had a hit today? Matt Judon. Because last week you had Minnesota play Dallas, and Dallas's defense dominated Minnesota, got to Kirk Cousins for 7 sacks. Mm-hmm. Then I watched today, and Micah Parsons is all over the field making plays. Mm-hmm. And then Judon had the same opportunity against a backup left tackle and didn't do a whole hell of a lot. So I think his defensive player of the year resume, or whatever you want to call it, hype train, took a little bit of a hit today.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to signify or like be the catalyst to the Judon decline, if you will, from last year as well.
Oh, no.
No,
but he didn't
stretch.
Step up to the challenge, and Micah Parsons is really freaking good.
Oh, I mean, he's next level. I mean, he's, you know, everyone always wants to say, like, who's the next Kobe? Who's the next MJ? Who's the next Brady? To compare Micah Parsons to Lawrence Taylor at this point is wildly premature, because Lawrence Taylor is almost inarguably the greatest defensive player of all time in the NFL. There are a couple other names you could probably throw in there as well, but Micah Parsons is next level. Judon looked like he had his burst. He looked like he had game. He looked like he was going to be a menace all over the field tonight. But it's almost like Minnesota spent the half week recovering from their ass whooping that they took last Sunday against Dallas in game planning to make sure that Matt Judon wouldn't be the game wrecker or wouldn't take them off their game tonight. And Justin Jefferson is just next level, Andy. Like, to call him wide receiver one in the NFL seems slightly hyperbolic, but I think he's worthy of the praise.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you're breaking early career Randy Moss records, and we know how good he was early in his Vikings career, and putting up the highlight plays, and they brought up a good point late. The physicality to his game, when he's covered and there's a guy bodying him up, he still makes the catch. And that might be the most impressive, is not just get open, catch the football when I have space. Okay, I have crazy hands, I can do this, but you lay a lick on him, he still catches it, still holds on to it, still comes down with it. He is he's something special right now. He really is. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he really is. Like, I it's just, he's one of those guys where it's like, man, I love watching him play football. It just happens to be that once every 4 years, I can't really enjoy his game because it comes at the cost. I mean, he had half of Kirk Cousins' passing yards tonight. How about that catch he made, Andy, in the red zone that ultimately was called back because there was holding on the Minnesota offensive line in the first half? And again, it looked like Jack Jones was set to pick off the ball. And yet somehow he slid in his hands, just sort of found their way right in front of Jack Jones, and he made the catch. And it was just sort of like, how the hell did you do that? Beyond his physical tools, his instinct and his knack for the catch and the situation is almost otherworldly at this point.
Jack Jones absolutely thought he had a pick there. He was sliding it, and then he's like, wait a minute. Why does he have the ball? How did he get in front of me to get the ball? Yeah, he's incredible, and he does it in different ways all over the field. You know, drag, short, deep, covered, triple. And the Thielen touchdown late, I'm pretty sure 3 different Patriots defensive backs ran with Justin Jefferson across the field, and that gave Thielen the room he needed and Cousins the room he needed to get that ball in. And that's the problem. When you have a guy like that is so good, other guys, like, you end up getting 2 and 3 guys. You know, even if you're doubling him, somebody else also has his eye on him, and that takes them out of their coverage, and those are game changers. That's why we've talked about it. Stephon Diggs, Justin, like how that changes the offense, how that makes everybody else better, how the Patriots don't have that guy. Like, that's the reality of the NFL.
Let's go to Leon, who's calling all the way from Old Scotty Top out in Wisconsin, who would like to talk about the game tonight and the referees especially. Hello, Leon.
Man, look, like, Hunter Henry, okay, whatever. You can say he didn't have the ball when he broke, when he went down, but he broke the plane. I don't know if you guys saw it, but on my TV, when it was the delay of game in the second half, on my screen it said flag, but I guess they got the timeout off in time. I don't want to all blame it on the refs and stuff, but, like, when we didn't get that touchdown with the Hunter Henry play, I think we should have went for on fourth down. I mean, we're about a yard or two out. Why not go be aggressive and go for on fourth down? We've been shutting the running game off. You know, it was just a weird game today, you know?
It was a very weird game. As a matter of fact, Leon, I meant to mention this to you before, Andy. At one point, because people that were watching at home were so confused about the referee's call on the Hunter Henry non-touchdown that ultimately became a field goal, that's a TD was trending on Twitter about an hour and a half ago.
Like, oh, really?
Man, that was heartbreaking, I tell you. That was probably, now looking back at it, the Baltimore loss and the Green Bay loss, those are huge now looking back at it at this point in the season.
Now, at least this loss, now the Patriots do drop to 6-5. They dropped to 6-5 on the season. It's an out-of-conference loss, so getting that win against the Jets last Sunday was huge for them because that's divisional and obviously that's conference as well. So that's gonna ultimately matter more down the stretch.
I think we have Mac Jones
down to tiebreakers.
I mean, it's tough now. We got Buffalo next week, so this is a must win.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you though, Leon, and thank you very much for the call, my friend. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I'm gonna tell you, Andy, we'll break this down in the second hour of the show as we get closer to the 1 o'clock hour. But I'll give.
I think
Patriots
we have Mac Jones at the podium
against
now.
Buffalo now,
which is the only thing you can control and. We left everything out there we had, so everything else is out of our control. But, you know, just giving effort and having the right attitude is what we can control, so we did a good job of that.
As you process everything in the aftermath of the game, how significant was the reversal?
Yeah, I think, obviously, you know, the refs have a job to do, and they looked at the review and ruled it incomplete. So we got to move on from that play and play the rest of the game. There's plenty of time left, and there's other times we could have punched it in, and that wouldn't even have been an issue. So kind of the same story there, but did some good things. Obviously not enough, good enough in the long run, and one call can't determine the outcome. We got to be able to do better, so it's not even close.
Mac, this was pretty clear as your best game of the year. What was working for you guys in the offense, and how comfortable did you feel out there, particularly in the first half?
Yeah, like I said, I think we all played with effort and toughness, and that's all you can ask for, and want to be able to score more points and win the game. So that's all that I care about. That's all that we care about is winning, and we didn't do that tonight.
I mean, you often talk about the process, right? You know, you don't always get the results you want from the process. Do you feel like tonight at least the process was something that can move you forward for the rest of the
year? Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think you try not to look at the results, but sometimes when you look back, you just wish it went a different way, and a lot of those things you can control. Some of them you can't, so... definitely wanted to go the other way, but got to keep working and coming together and just continue to build off adversity. That's the biggest thing for us is, you know, we don't want a smooth sail. We need that rocky wave, but we also want to have better results on the way. So we got to flip the switch here and figure it out.
Mac, the offensive line tonight, just about their performance, had a lot of offense.
Yeah, they did a great job. All those guys just doing their job on every play, and I didn't feel pressure at all hardly, and just hats off to them for playing a great game in the run game too, and they did a great job, and if we can just continue to do that, then, you know, I think a lot of things will go our way.
Seems like you had more time maybe to kind of get to, you know, second, third reads and corrections and things like that.
Yeah.
How does that help you just be able to see the whole field and have that kind of
line? Yeah, I think Matty P did a good job there. Obviously they have a good defense and a good rush front, so did it well most of the time, and then some other things we just have to clean up, and like I said, the result wasn't what we wanted, but as you said, I think there were some good things there.
Thank you. 5 receivers with 60 plus yards tonight. You feel comfortable moving the ball around with different guys and trying to see them step up?
Yeah, I don't ever try and single in on anybody. I just, wherever the play takes me, that's where I'm throwing it, and I think that's cool about this offense is you don't know when it's going to come to you, but it can come to you on any play. So kind of cool there. Obviously need to score more points to kind of put us ahead and, you know, do things better. But I think, you know, like I said, there's no time to kind of frown upon and just got to watch the tape. That's what it comes down to, and build on the things that we did well and then correct the things that we haven't, just like we've done in the past, you know, all the games that we played in. What'd you say? Yeah, I mean, it's a huge game. I think Buffalo's top team in the league. And obviously they're playing really well when you watch crossover film and things like that. Just a great team, and we have to be able to, you know, play better to win. So we know the challenge ahead. All righty. Thanks.
That was New England Patriots quarterback Mac Jones with just a couple quick minutes at the podium following tonight's defeat at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings, 33-26 at U.S. Bank Stadium, which drops the Patriots to 6-5 on the season. Andy, what did you think about Mac Jones?
I thought he was the flip switch thing we need to do away with. I know he got it on his recruiting trip to Kentucky or Kansas or something years ago.
The flipping of the switch?
There's no more flipping of the switch. You haven't flipped the switch. You were better tonight. You still weren't good in the red zone. I do think it's something he can build on. But we, you know, Chris Gasper of the Globe kind of gave him the out, like, oh, you focus on the results, not the process. Like, no. We're in results season. It's freaking Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. No more process. The only thing that, like, I'm happy that he played well. Like, I'm glad I saw something from him that has been lacking most of the season. But the reality is you lost. Like, no more talk about processes. It's results time. You're 6-5. You're in a dogfight to try to stay in the playoff picture. Mm-hmm. And you had a winnable football game that you didn't win. No
but
silver
linings. The good news is, though,
Victory Fridays, Fitzy. No moral victory Fridays. We don't do those around here.
But we're going to have to play Moral Victory Friday, Andy, because obviously it's a Patriots Friday, which will be like a Patriots Monday. I get all of that. But they're going to have to, because they're going to have to try to use any positives that they could glean from tonight's game and turn that into energy and momentum for next Thursday's game against Buffalo, which is going to be huge. Okay, we'll continue to dissect, analyze, and sift through the wreckage at the same time, try to glean those positives and give you something to hang your hat on into the wee hours of the morning here on WEEI. We'll hopefully have Coach Bill Belichick in just a couple minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Give us a call if you're mad. Come on, vent with us. It's the Six Rings Postgame Show here on WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back to the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI.
Much of Tyquan Thornton is in the game here. Receiver, third and goal. Mac Jones through an end zone, and it's caught for the touchdown. Henry, he's got another one. Hunter Henry, Chandon Sullivan, the DB there, brings it in. We'll make sure he had it secure as he hit the ground. The Patriots retake the lead.
After review, the pass is incomplete.
So Hunter Henry's denied a second touchdown catch in his many drives.
The action to the overturn call.
They called it. They called it. I believe I called it, but I mean, they made the call and just got to live with it.
Pal Chris Mason of Mass Live for getting that audio and posting it to the socials. That's Hunter Henry in the locker room afterwards telling reporters, I believe I caught that ball, but they called it differently. And of course, that contributed to the Patriots going 0-3 in the red zone tonight, which killed them along with all the other situational mistakes they made as they lose to the Minnesota Vikings 33-26. Ah, you know the score. That's why you're listening. That's why you're calling. That's why you're as frustrated as we are right now here on the Six Rings postgame show. Andy, I just retweeted something I saw. I missed it because I wasn't watching the end of the game. I was firing up the old radio machine here, getting ready for the postgame. Belichick walking out to midfield. Adam Thielen came over for the handshake, got none of it, then did the pat on the back. Belichick just basically lowers his shoulder and just breezes right by him. Yep. Oh, we're going to get a salty Bill whenever he steps up to the podium tonight.
You know what that tells me? Don't look for Adam Thielen to be one of those like second portion of career Patriots signings guy that Bill, oh, I've always kind of liked him from afar. There was no courting. Remember the hugs with Hunter Henry? Remember the hugs with Hunter Henry before they signed Hunter Henry?
Oh, and the one day I'm going to sign you. I love you. You're like
Adam Thielen didn't
career.
Get that.
Do you remember 2018, the last time the Vikings came to Foxborough, Andy? Back in 2018, there was an STFU sent from Belichick to Thielen on the field.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, I remember. It might have been in the second quarter of that game, and Adam Thielen was having a whale of a 2018 season, and there was some catch or some sort of disputed play on the field, and I don't think he was jawing with Belichick. I think he was jawing with the refs and maybe turned his head to the sideline, and then there was just from Belichick, oh, would you, you know, shut the blank up? And I remember like thinking, oh man, that's my Belichick, that's my head coach right there. That was outstanding at the time, and obviously Bill, who loves him a good grudge, hasn't forgotten that as well up to that point.
Interesting. Yeah, I did not recall that. I just Googled it though, and yeah, Bill Belichick, Adam Thielen feud, and all this. Yeah, there's plenty of history.
David is in Florida. He wants to talk about this evening's game. David, hello and welcome to your Friday, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving. What a way to end the game. You know, this game was in many ways a microcosm of the season. I mean, penalties all season long, especially early in the season. And this game, I mean, there were those two major penalties that killed the game. The roughing the pass, roughing the kicker. And there was one, I don't remember if it was second or third down, when some Vikings receiver tried to catch the ball, and one of the safeties just croaked him from behind, and it was a late hit or something. That continued to drive for him.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe that drive ended in points, but I think I know the one you're speaking in reference to. The Pierre Strong penalty on special teams on fourth down, running into the punter.
Yeah,
was the worst.
I mean, the kickoff return or the punt return. I mean, you can't get upset about that. That I mean, last week they won the game for them. This year today they blew it. I mean, that happens. But the penalties you can't have. And there was also a point in the first half on one of the drives. I was very surprised that Belichick didn't go for it on fourth and one. The play when Ramondre. It was like a little swing pass out to Ramondre in the flat, and he was tripped up like a yard. He got the first down. He reached for the first down, but they didn't give it to him. Then it was fourth and one, and Belichick elected to kick the field goal. I was very surprised they didn't go for it then.
It was a very conservative call, and I know the one you're talking about. Ramondre tripped, and his knee went down before he could extend the ball to the first down for the first down line. Yes,
and then it was fourth and one, and I was shocked he didn't go for it. The defense, I said last week, and the defense is not as good as everybody has been saying they are. They're just not. I mean, they didn't. I mean, the offense is not good enough to win the game. And if the defense doesn't play spectacularly, then they're not going to win. And I mean, against lesser teams, the defense shuts them down. But against Baltimore, they were horrible. Against tonight in Minnesota, an 8-2, 9-2 team, they're not as good as everybody says they are. I mean, they couldn't shut the Vikings down tonight. And that's just the problem. That's just the problem.
I agree. They're not as good as, well, not every. I think some of us were talking about how there was a little fraudulence to it, and they were probably going to get woken up. But I also, that doesn't mean they stink. That doesn't mean they're incapable of competing.
No, they don't stink.
But you don't have to shut a team down to win a game. You can just be competitive. If they don't give up that kickoff return, there's a chance they win this football game.
Yeah,
that changes
chance,
it. That's extra points.
Yeah, there's a chance. You're right. There's a chance. But, I mean, the defense has to hold it. The offense cannot win a game by itself. And I mean, the red zone offense is just deplorable. And it's play calling and the offense in general is not good enough to win a game by themselves.
So 26 points is not enough to win in the NFL.
I thought they were good enough to win tonight, David.
Yeah, that's my point, is I think the defense,
and thank you for the call, sir,
took a step back, but the offense took a step forward. And in totality, in a complementary unit as a team, maybe that's going to become more of a formula for winning moving forward. The offense has been so bad for basically the entirety of the season. The defense has been good more often than not for the entirety of the season. Maybe they're going to kind of even out, level out a little bit here like they did tonight. You take that. It's a tie game, right, if you take out the kickoff return? 33-26. Take away the 7 points on special teams.
It is. It's so, you know, your offense played better than you've seen them play, for sure. I mean, they only got 3 points last week against the Jets. I think in a lot of ways, Andy, that tells you the Jets have a much better defense than Minnesota and most other teams. That's why they're a top five defense in the NFL. But also, like, you're not going to get Zach Wilson, a quarterback so bad he's benched in the middle of his second year in the NFL for the legend of Mike White as well. Obviously, Kirk Cousins is that much better. And the skill level in Minnesota is just, you know, elite. It's more well-rounded. It's more advanced.
Well, no, it's elite. I mean, skill level on that team is elite. I kept saying it this week, and I don't know if people don't notice. Like, everybody looks at San Francisco and goes, wow, McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle.
Pretty
good. Minnesota has Cook and Jefferson and Hawkinson. They're all all-pro caliber players.
I'll take that trio any day.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. I look at it, if you take out the kickoff return, which are, I don't want to call them fluke plays, but they are extreme
plays.
Well,
when there's a hold that doesn't get called, it kind of
hurts. Yeah. And last week you got a block in the back that didn't get called, so I'd call it even.
The NFL spoke to that one and said it was okay.
Yeah, the NFL's full of crap.
Well, the NFL, dare I say, in the voice of the great Ricky Ricardo, is going to have some splaining to do this week, because there are a number of calls. Mac Jones being kicked and wasn't tripping on a play, the hold there.
He was trying to dive to take that
of the
too.
Catch for Hunter Henry.
Do you see him lay down on his face like he was kind of hurt for a second to see if they'd throw a flag, and then he hops right up and comes off? He loves to do the He's a soccer player. He is a born and bred.
So was the Minnesota punter, for God's sake. Did you see the La Liga flip he took when Pierre Strong grazes his toe?
He's a punter. He's literally a soccer player. He's a kicker by nature. Like, they're all the same. But Mac Jones, but you know, you're right. The officials were horrible. There was one play where TJ Hawkinson got the first down by more than a yard, but the guy spotted it like a yard and a half short.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back and the ball had moved a yard and a half again. And I'm like, who moved it? Like, they're so incapable. That was a bad crew. That was an alarmingly bad crew, especially for that's a big game. Thanksgiving night, prime time.
It's a prime time. I bet the ratings will be huge. And it was a good game all the way down to, they competed. It was, you know, in the balance all the way up to the final whistle as well.
And it was the worst officiated game I've seen all year.
Oh, by a country mile.
Because it was all over the place. Both teams, offense, mm-hmm. defense, passing game, run it. Like, everything was horrific. They were bad.
From our pal Zach Cox over at Nesson, Devin McCourty to reporters about 6 minutes ago. Devin McCourty to reporters on Justin Jefferson's big night. Quote, if we play like that against number one guys, it's going to be a long year. To which I would say to DMAC, number one, Justin Jefferson is a completely different kind of animal, a beast, a cheat code. He's the best receiver in the NFL now. He may ultimately be one of the best ever, considering, like you mentioned earlier, Andy, he's breaking records. Like, he's already setting trends this far into his career. Cox points out that the Patriots will see Stephon Diggs twice. He's given them nothing but fits since he's gone to Buffalo. You get D-Hop out in Arizona, Devontae Adams, Jamar Chase, and then, of course, the Miami tandem on New Year's Day of Tyreek and Waddle as well. So Pat's defense is going to have their hands full. Are they as bad as they played tonight in parts? And is the offense as good, or can the offense continue to be as good as they were tonight? Part of me thinks a lot of that had to do with the fact that Minnesota's defense, as Dallas clearly pointed out on a national stage Sunday, kind of not so sneaky sucks.
Yeah, but Dallas looked pretty good today, too. Dallas is one of those teams, or certainly in the second half, they looked good today. That's one of those teams
that's picking up steam. Three different tight ends scored today in that game. That's impressive.
And they're going to sign OBJ, and their quarterback is playing well. The NFL has become a league of streaks. Win streaks, offensive streaks, hot, heaters, like teams are on heaters. I don't know. I don't think I thought the defense was quite as bad today as the callers seem to be bringing up, and even your tone. Like, I expected them to struggle against a really good passing attack with really good weapons. And that's why I'm a little bit more fixated on, can you score more points? Is this what you're going to become offensively? Hey, if you start both halves like you did today with drives for touchdowns, if I can guarantee, just give me first drive each half, touchdowns, scripted ones. I don't care who does it. Bill Belichick, everybody's involved. If I get those 14 and you tell me I'm going to get, because I know I'll get the other three Nick Folk field goals every week. Because that's
Andy, we take you now, if you wouldn't mind, please, to Patriots coach Bill Belichick at the podium.
Good job. Yeah, they made a few more plays than we did. And, you know, they got a good football team. Got some, a lot of good players, well coached. We just came up short, obviously. Couldn't make enough plays to win. You know, Cousins was tough. He had made a lot of good plays. Throws, checks. Man, he's a good player. So disappointed to, you know, come up a little bit short, but you said too many mistakes they took advantage of, and it really is the difference in the game. So point to a lot of things, and any of them would have made a difference. So, but collectively, we just, you know, got to do a better job here, and let's perform a little bit better than we did tonight.
Jefferson,
so much for his production, just he's just an elite player versus could you
have done more?
Here? Yeah, it's not the only good receiver we're going to see this year. Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah, no doubt about it. What about it?
How tough was that?
Sends a really difference in the game. That's 7 points that, you know, end up being bonus points in a game. Yep.
Did you get any explanation on the Hunter Henry catch that was overturned?
Why don't you guys go to the officials with your pool reporter and ask them about the play and let them explain it to you? Right? Like, isn't that what you do? Thank you. On third down, got a penalty. Yeah, again, they're a good team. I mean, give them credit.
Do you feel like you left points on the board in the first half just with the way that timeout situation unfolded?
I don't know. Talking about throwing another one in the end zone with 6 seconds to go. I mean, you don't have much time. But, you know, that. So, yeah. Felt like take the points, come back, get the ball started the second half, they get a tie game. So.
That's not in having used the timeouts that way, leading up to it, maybe 100 second bounds and then back sliding instead of, like, throwing away in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, you can second guess a lot of plays tonight, sure.
What was your thought on production in the passing game?
Good at times. 3 for 10 on third down. Not really good enough. Yeah. Couldn't get the ball in the red area in a couple of drives, so room for improvement.
Were you surprised by some of the mistakes you guys obviously are making the Pierre Strong trying to get the kickers, you know, this far into the season when it seems like you guys have had a pretty good bowl tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the NFL. good players that make plays. We have good players that make some plays. And, yeah, I don't know.
And there we have it. You got to always love Andy in the background whenever Stacey James, PR director for the Patriots, kind of feels the tension growing and knows that Bill is getting saltier and more grisly and bitter. Do you just hear that in the background?
Final question.
Yeah, that was quite a presser. I think there was a couple times there where Mike Reese did a good job translating facial expressions and head movements for answers when Bill wasn't really actually articulating answers. But I actually agree with a lot of what Bill said, because it's funny, you know, I think the offense made strides, but generally when you look at offensive football on paper, a couple things you look at, well, first of all, points, but then you look at third down and red zone. They weren't good on third down and they weren't good in the red zone. So even though I think they made strides, they were still, you know, shooting themselves in the foot, not really getting rolling. You know, they have the first touchdown where you skip the red zone. Yeah, we'll just skip the red zone and have it on whatever it was, 30-something yard touchdown. So there's still plenty to pick nits, I guess, as my friend John Rook likes to say. But then, you know, the defensive side of things, well, it's not going to be the only good receiver we face this year. Yeah. You got all those guys you just articulated on the horizon. This is what we saw coming. So you can't just say, well, he's a good receiver. You know, good players make good plays. We're not doing that Loserville thing, are we? Like, hey, Cam, how come you had batted balls? J.J. Watt. Yeah. And you're freaking Cam Newton. You're supposed to be good, too. Like, that would be where I would argue that is there is a concern moving forward. If they're not going to be able to make teams go to their second and third option, because some teams will not have the second and third option that the Vikings have. They're a really good offense. They have really good talent.
Well, they did, though, at one point, and that's when Adam Thielen burned Jalen Mills because they doubled Justin Jefferson, and then Thielen gets the touchdown,
and they
which
went to Hawkinson.
Ends up being the game winner.
Not every team has Thielen and Hawkinson in addition to the great receiver, right? Especially a team like, I think they'll be healthy by then, but like Vegas without with Waller on IR and Hunter Renfrow on IR. Like, okay, if you can take away Devontae Adams, maybe you got a puncher's chance. Well, the Vikings have other options to turn to. And Bill's right. Kirk Cousins takes a lot of heat around pretty much around everywhere for, like, coming up short, you know, primetime Kirk and all these things. But he is a really active quarterback. He's borderline Peyton Manning-esque in that aspect of the game in terms of the adjustments and the histrionics and the calls and the kills and the this and the turbos and all these things that he does. Is really impressive. Now, I don't know how much of it is actually productive and effective and how much of it might be window dressing a little bit, but he's an active quarterback and he had a good night and he beat you.
Yeah, and of course, I loved his response when they asked him about the Hunter Henry touchdown. We'll actually play that for you when we come back. I want to have a little fun with that one as well. Plus, we'll get to your calls. We'll continue to, as John Rook likes to say, pick nits, if you will, and go over Bill Belichick, the game, the officiating, how the Patriots can look to improve defensively. Andy says they played a little bit better than the final score indicates. I'm happy with how the offense played, but in the end, they just weren't able to do enough. A lot to continue going over as we make our way to 1 a.m. here on the Six Rings postgame show. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number with Fitzy Hart and an unfortunate Patriots Thanksgiving loss here on WEEI.
Did you get any explanation on the Hunter Henry catch that was overturned?
Why don't you guys go to the officials with your pool reporter and ask them about the play and let them explain it to you? Right? Like, isn't that what you do? Thank you.
Would you please pass the salt, Coach? Oh, I see you have an abundance of it right there. Woo, boy.
It's a South Pole elf.
Yeah, that is an unhappy Coach Bill Belichick right there. Why don't you guys go to the officials with your pool reporters? Wow. Can you blame him, though? I mean, can you blame Bill Belichick for being as frustrated as he was with the inconsistency of what is and what is not a catch? Now, obviously,
he's an angry elf.
You're frustrated with certain elements of the game flow, and how it's going. But right there, that would have just been massive. You know, breaking through, the Patriots actually would have gotten a touchdown. They were 0 for 3 instead in the red zone tonight. It would have bolstered Mac Jones's confidence, given them the score. I mean, in the end, like, little things like that end up making a massive difference for a team like the Patriots that doesn't have a big margin for error, Andy.
Yeah, and in big games. I mean, we see that a lot, that games that go back and forth like this. And I want to continue to emphasize, this was a fun football game. This is back and forth, lead changes, plays being made, special teams.
Only part of my Thanksgiving I enjoyed, quite honestly.
Yeah, so, like, except the end. It was kind of the opposite of last week. Last week was a crappy game that ended awesome. This was an awesome game that ended crappy.
Why did it have to? Why does it all? Why does life have to always work that way? Why can't we have nice things? Why do we have to, like, for, you know, getting the special teams benefit last Sunday, just four short days ago? Ah, but the high of Marcus Jones and the return to beat the Jets. Can we go back to that for a second? Instead, tonight we open up and, whoa, Mac to Aguilar, 40 yards, touchdown. Where's this team been? I told you he could play like that. He's flipped the switch. Oh, who's calling for Zappy now? There's And then, of course, ultimately it ends up with special teams errors that lead to, along with some other self-inflicted wounds and some miscues, a Patriots defeat. Can we put away once and for all, Zappy's my guy, Mac ain't it? How far do you think tonight's game, before we go back to the calls, Andy, how far do you think tonight's game goes in Mac Jones's favor with Pats fans, the diehards, media alike, in allaying their concerns or assuring them that when he gets the right night, and his guys are with him, this guy can ball out?
Well, I will tell you, a buddy of mine sent me a text as we were just about to go on the air that said, Mac Jones is not the answer. Happy Thanksgiving.
What? You got to be kidding me.
I'm just telling you the text I got. I didn't have a conversation. I said, LOL, you too, because we were about to go on the air. But I don't think this is going to appease everyone. You know, the two lightning rods of criticism, Matt Patricia and Mac Jones, I think took a step forward tonight. You know, again, I have to give Patricia some credit for the drives that looked so good to open the halves, correct? That's not just Bill. That's you know, I have to give him some credit. He gets all the blame, so give him some credit, too, for Matt Patricia. Those guys took steps forward. But you still weren't good on third down. You still weren't good in the red zone. So those guys also have to answer for that. You couldn't put the drive together that you needed late in the game to, you know, magically come back. There was not going to be a Minnesota miracle for these Patriots. Nope. So there's going to be questions. And that's not a very good defense. That's the worst red zone defense in the National Football League. 32nd out of 32 teams.
There's 32 teams, so that would make them the worst.
Right. So there's going to be some of that putting putting this in perspective, I guess, the way the offense played, like, oh, that's not a great defense you played against over there. So
just the same way last week, it was like, oh, that's not really a good quarterback or a good offense you played in the Jets.
Right. So we're still in that figuring it out phase. And I do think that's probably why Bill is so pissy, because one got away. This was one, whether you needed to, quote unquote, steal it or not, I don't know how good he thinks his team is. So whether this would be a steal it or we're a pretty good team and we should have gone on the road and won in a tough environment on a short week on a holiday. Like, this would have been a nice pelt to have, right? This would have been a good pelt to go to the North and grab. And they didn't get it. It was there for the taking. And as he said, those are extra points. It was a tie game. You gave up a kickoff return. Otherwise it's a tie game. Sort of. Except they had that missed PAT, too.
Very much looking forward to the
that
officials
guy stinks,
catching a
by
glimpse
the way.
Of the call that they missed. The referees, the worst part about tonight was the refs, hands down. Checking in on the socials as well, Andy. Let's see. At Derek Gray 93 tweets at me, special teams were horrific. Defense couldn't contain Jefferson enough or get any pressure on Cousins and get him off the spot. Too many mental mistakes in the fourth. Didn't like the play call on third and one. Just needed 1 yard and had guys running routes too deep. Tough loss. But other than that, great effort.
Well, if you want me to boil this down, the one thing that I think is the worst sign of the night, it's the lack of the pass rush.
Yep.
I don't think they should be able to stop Justin Jefferson. Their cornerbacks, they have Miles Bryant and Jalen Mills on the field all the time. I don't think they're good enough to win those types of matchups. But Matt Judon is supposed to be a defensive player of the year candidate. And Matt Judon tells me Josh Uche is actually the best pass rusher on the team. And Dietrich Wise is having his year six jump. I don't know how much those guys did tonight in a matchup where they should have shown up. And that's concerning because I thought if you would were going, I said this to you a couple weeks ago, if you were going to have hope that the defense was going to compete at a higher level down the stretch and not have a falling apart year two here down the stretch, the pass rush and Judon would be the reason why. And I thought they were utterly disappointing tonight.
We are, of course, broadcasting from our Best Yet brand studio here on the Six Rings Postgame Show, and we're brought to you by Zudy. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy, that's Zudy.com, for your free trial. Back to the phones, the vent line here on the Six Rings Postgame Show. Mike is in Chicopee. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Fitzy. Hey, Hart. Happy Thanksgiving.
And you too as well, friend.
Hey, so I just wanted, you know, real quick, I'm done with Matt Patricia. I know, Andy, you said he had a all right game today, but I'll give you an example, and then you can talk about it, whatever. When they had the pick, and they ran it to, what, I think the 13-yard line, maybe, and they get second down, they already have a hard time in the red zone. And he runs an end around, not even to his fastest receiver that he has. He runs it. And to me, that's him in a nutshell. I can't with him anymore. And I also don't think that their defense was that bad as everybody's saying. I think they played very well today. But I just want to see what you guys had to say about that. And, again, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call, my friend. Enjoy your holiday season. We'll talk to you soon. As opposed to, like, let me count the ways how Matt Patricia showed himself to be a rookie play caller and somebody who is definitely calling plays on offense, like he used to be a defensive mind or was a defensive game planner and just doesn't have the rhythm and flow on offense. Well, how am I supposed to argue with Mac Jones almost having 400 yards of offense, getting a touchdown taken away from them, and an offense by, you know, would they punt three times? By the way, your boy Pilardi, yeah, the Pilardi party has been officially canceled.
We now know why he was on the street. He's not all that good.
No, and I wanted to bring this up early. I wanted to bring this up earlier too, Andy. Little things in football games, like situational elements like we've been talking about and stuff you kind of don't notice or maybe you take for granted. So on the kickoff return for Minnesota that went for a touchdown, again, holding, Nick Folk gets the ball to about the 6. Now, you, Jake Bailey, when he's on, his kickoff game is usually an automatic touchback. It hasn't been the case this year as well. Obviously now with the back injury, he's on injured reserve. But the little things matter. Like, Folk doesn't have the same leg strength Bailey does. So he gets it to the 6. If you get it to the 1, maybe it's a different return. If you get it in the end zone, maybe it's a touchback. So, like, little things like that you can't gloss over in the end game.
Especially when you are a mediocre team that's going to scratch and claw and do everything it needs to do to try to get wins. And that would go into the penalties and the little mistakes that add up. You know, those get buried when you're dominant. Those get buried when you have guys making big plays and all of a sudden, you know, you can put up 2 scoring drives in a minute and a half where you put 14 points on the board. That's not what this Patriots team is. That's not how it's built. That's not how it's been playing. Now, that caller was a little strong. Did he say the defense was really good or dominant or I forgot what he said? Like,
it was something along the lines of, I don't think they were as bad as.
Yeah, okay, so that I'm on board with. I don't think they're as bad as people may make them out to be. Like, this was, I think people are going to say this was like the crashing back to earth. They imploded. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, it's over. It was all a facade. It was all built on Ellinger and Wilson. I don't think it was that bad. They played a good offense with great weapons. That's how I would describe them. I thought the quarterback had a good night. He threw you the ball once. He probably could have thrown it to you 3, maybe 4 times. You know, John Jones catches any one of those other ones, it may change the whole complexion. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they were horrific. I am concerned about the lack of pass rush, as I said. I think
very fair point, and they're going to need to generate that and then some and have
absolutely
to corral and contain against Buffalo on Thursday. Here to actually help us further diagnose what went wrong tonight and if the Patriots have made improvements that will give you a little hope and heart going forward on the Harbor One hotline, one of the hosts of the Merlone, Fourier, and Mego program, our pal and yours, Mr. Thanksgiving himself, Christian Fourier. Fourier.
Hey, good morning, guys, because it is the morning. How you doing, Andy? How you doing, Fitzy?
Morning! Good morning, Fourier. That's right. Well, see? Look at all the sunshine he's full of right now. Isn't that nice to hear?
Oh, man. So, real quick, so I was just – I know you guys watched the post-game press conference, right? And I'm sure you heard everything while you're doing the show. Mm-hmm. But you tell me that the one thing that stands out to me, and as I'm driving home, like this loss, seems so familiar to me back in my, you know, Seattle days when we were a really good team, but we were really stupid, right? We had a lot of talent, but we were dumb. And Mac Jones keeps coming up and he says, you know, control what you control. And he's like, effort and toughness. And I'm like, you need to add intelligence. I feel like they need to add that, needs to be the third element that they need to openly talk about, because I actually thought that there are so many little things that caused them to lose this game. Like, there's the obvious that everyone can mention, but when it comes down to it, like, even the smallest thing, like Trent Brown trying to cut block a defensive end on an obvious long developing play. He didn't know he thought it was a quick pass. It wasn't. Guy gets up in the fourth quarter, sacks him. You know, like Kendrick Bourne still not knowing where to line up. You know, Hunter Henry, like in the second, you know, not getting out of bounds, like using timeouts. All these things are that on like what always used to happen to us. I remember like it was yesterday, like filled with regret because we just weren't smart enough and we didn't understand how on point we needed to be at critical times of a game. And this to me is like their biggest problem. Like, it's their biggest problem. Could they beat the Minnesota Vikings? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing this. Not messing up in the critical times of the game.
So, Christian, so you make some of these critical errors, some self-inflicted wounds, red zone issues, the stupid couple of special teams miscues. Obviously, you're also competing not only against a wild crowd in Minnesota, but an offensively charged team in Minnesota and a terrible officiating crew. But I ask you, do you think you saw enough progress offensively that you believe the Patriots will have a chance against some of the tougher teams they'll face the rest of the year? I mean, Mac almost throwing for 400 in a couple touchdowns and getting one taken away from him on that Hunter Henry play. Like, it's pretty damn impressive.
No, I do. I thought he looked great. Obviously, for me, you know, a bunch of games where he hasn't thrown a pick, that'll always make you feel good. But I still feel like they're in first gear. I still feel like they're just holding him back, and I think a big part of it is play calling. But two, like, everything went to the outside. Again, they're just focused on the outside routes, you know, quick hitting routes. They took a couple of shots, and then they finally started attacking in the middle of the field with Hunter Henry. Like, when teams are playing cover two and you're a running team, that just is like such a slap in the face because to a tight end, because you should be taking advantage of the linebackers' over-aggressiveness and the huge void that is behind them. So finally they do it. They give him the ball. He gets a touchdown, you know, which I was, like, extremely happy about. So that's a couple days, couple games that they had where they threw the ball, you know, down the seam or pseudo-seam for tonight for Hunter Henry. So I still think there's a lot of meat on the bone. And I can see now maybe they kind of start, you know, using some of it because they're running out of time. You know, like they're going to play teams that can score a lot of points. So they have to be able to be aggressive. They have to force the issue. They have to drive the ball down the field. And they just can't be so, I don't know, complacent and careful. Like, if they're going to give you an opportunity, be willing to take advantage of it. Right? That's if I'm looking at encouraging signs, I feel like that's something that maybe Matt Patricia says, okay, I feel a little better now. I feel a
Christian,
little confident now.
You know, I'm an optimist, and my optimistic side looks at this game and says maybe the defense couldn't quite hang with the talent of the Vikings, but the offense took a clear step forward. They were making plays down the field. They were getting guys involved that we thought might be forgotten. Aguilar and Parker were making plays. Is it possible that we see sort of this balancing out or leveling out of the team over the next six games that are left, and that, yeah, the defense isn't great, but they're competitive, and the offense gets more competitive, and that puts you in these kinds of games week in and week out where, quite frankly, if you don't give up a kickoff return tonight, you're in a tie ball game. You're in a real dogfight. Maybe we're still playing in overtime. So can we see offensive improvement to overcome defensive regression?
Well, yeah, and I think you're on it. Like, you're going to be in a dogfight. So what's going to be the difference between winning and losing? You know, like, that's what really separates the good teams from the great teams, is, like, who doesn't make those stupid mistakes at the critical time. So then you sit there, you look at Jefferson, like, he made some unbelievable catches. Mm-hmm. Like, the dude's a unicorn. So you kind of tip your cap to him and be like, listen, we're still – I thought they did a great job on Dalvin Cook running the ball, especially. I thought they have a really good front. Like, when they go against some of these really – these, you know, crazy good teams – like a Buffalo Bills team that, you know, is down against the Detroit Lions in the early game today. He's got, like, you know, 43 seconds. He goes down in 20, and he gets a touchdown. It's like that's the competition that you're going against. So, the punting situation in special teams is such an issue. Like, last week, the special team saved your ass. This week, it's the reason why you lost, right? You basically
– yep.
It's like you basically gave up 14 non-offensive touchdowns, you know, 14 points because of special teams. It's just, you're never going to win.
Nope. It's the cruel nature of football, and it's exactly what may end up dooming this team, Christian. We got to catch a break. We're wrapping up soon. Just final quick thought. You give them a shot against Buffalo?
Listen, regardless of Buffalo, I feel like even if they end this 3 games in 12 days, 6-6, I think they're in a good spot. They're right where they need to be. I wouldn't worry about it. Like, they'll take a road trip. They can win those 2 games on the road back west, and then come back and really, then they got to act like a man. I mean, not to steal a phrase from the Godfather, but it's time to act like men, boys. We're running out of time.
I love it. On the Harbor One Hotline, joining us, Christian Fourier. Christian, hope you had a great Thanksgiving, my guy. We'll talk to you soon. Look forward to hearing from you Monday and talking to Mac Jones and everything on the show.
All right, boys. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
You're the best. Thanks for calling in. Christian Fourier himself, Mr. Optimist. Happy Friday. Fourier driving home here on the Six Rings postgame show. Andy, when we come back, we'll do player of the game, thumbs up, thumbs down, final calls, and put a bow on this one. Pats lose 33-26 in Minnesota. You got the Six Rings postgame show here till 1 a.m. on WEEI. Final call here on the Six Rings postgame show as we wrap up in a couple minutes. We'll get Andy Hart's player of the game, and he's got a pool report he'd like to read from. But Junior called in from Phoenix, and he just wants to get a couple words in before we close up shop tonight. Hi, Junior. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Great show. So a couple of things about this game. One, obviously, there was a huge improvement with the offense, but one of the callers did bring up a good point. Some of these weird calls when we get, you know, to the red zone. Obviously, we've been struggling all year long. So, you know, I'd like to see more simple plays in the red zone. And then tonight, just our special teams did not show up for us. And I feel like Bill didn't adjust to what the Vikings were doing. You know, they kept beating us down with Jefferson, and it seemed like he took just a little bit too long to adjust. But overall, great game, you know. Different from last game, but I like the improvement we're making. I've always been for Mac Jones, and I'm going to stick with Mac Jones.
Like to hear it, Junior. Thanks so much. Have a great holiday weekend, my friend. There we go, Andy. We're going to try to focus on the positive, as the Patriots have now just under a week to prepare for their biggest test of the year against the Buffalo Bills next Thursday, 8:15 at Gillette. I know you wanted to share something from the pool report before we wrap up tonight.
Yeah, real quick, Mike Reese, the pool reporter, spoke with Walt Anderson, vice president.
Old Deflaty himself.
Yeah, which I don't really like because he's not the guys making the calls on the field involved. Whatever. Question, what did you see to determine Hunter Henry didn't maintain control? Anderson, quote, he was going to the ground, the ball ended up touching the ground, and then he lost control of the ball in his hands. Follow-up, can you explain why he wasn't granted possession before the ball hit the ground? because as he's going to the ground, he has to maintain control of the ball upon contacting the ground. The term that's commonly used is, quote, surviving the ground. A lot of people refer to that. So, as he's going to the ground, he has the elements of 2 feet and control, but because he's going to the ground, he has to maintain control of the ball when he does go to the ground. I don't even know what the hell that means. Now he's talking in circles.
What a word salad.
So, yeah, they said it hit the ground and he lost control. I actually think it did hit the ground and he did lose control for a minute, but then I think he caught it. So I thought it was a catch. I'm so confused.
Nobody knows. I love the fact that Dez Bryant actually tweeted out, I'm turning this game off, you know, SMFH. Like, Dez Bryant was all of us, and he'll still never understand from 8 years ago in Green Bay to this day as well. Time now for, as we wrap up, your Patriots Player of the Game brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to Cars for Kids. That's carswithak.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Mac Jones, there you go. Mac Jones was your Player of the Game tonight. 382 yards in defeat, 2 touchdowns, marked improvement as well. Andy, we'll be back with the Six Rings podcast very soon to get everyone ready for the Buffalo game next Thursday night, which I'm giving them more than a puncher's chance in. But sadly, we go to bed on a pillow of defeat tonight as the Patriots lose 33-26. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your shopping weekend. You'll have Curtis, Shime, and Wiggy tomorrow morning on the Greg Hill Show to continue discussing this Patriots defeat. Good job, Andy. Good job, producer Nick LaPan. Thanks for making the Six Rings postgame show part of your Thanksgiving, everyone. Sleep well, God bless, and as always, go Pats.